I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, I share my thoughts about Women's History Month and other months. That's in just a few minutes. But first, Hollywood celebrated its own at the 82nd Annual Academy Awards last night. Joining me to recap the best and worst about the Oscars is Wesley Morris. He's the film critic for the Boston Globe, and Reginald Hudlin, a Hollywood producer, writer, director, and member of the Academy. I welcome you both. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you.
Hello, Michelle.
I know, late night for everybody. Try to perk up, right? Shall
I'm
we?
Awake.
You're
I'm awake.
You're energized. I'm glad to hear
yes.
it. Well, let's start off by hearing a bit of Monique's acceptance speech after she was awarded the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. That, of course, for her role as the horrendous mother figure in Precious, the film after the novel Push by Sapphire. Here it is.
First, I would like to thank the Academy for showing that it can be about the performance and not the politics. I want to thank Miss Hattie McDaniel for enduring all that she had to so that I would not have to. Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, because you touched it, the whole world saw it.
Well, first of all, Wesley, what's she talking about, the politics and not the performance? What's she talking about?
Well, Monique actually did a very unusual thing by Hollywood standards, which is that she decided not to campaign for an award. She didn't show up on the talk shows. She has her own show. She didn't cozy up to the Academy. She didn't do all kinds of magazine spreads and sort of talk about how much the Oscar meant to her. She really just stayed back. And I think that she got a lot of heat initially, and then it seemed to not affect her chances or her odds of winning other awards. And I think it became this very sort of controversial thing that worked out in her favor. And she's right. It should not be about having to campaign to win these things. You should either win because you were good or you lose. I mean, it should speak for itself. And I think that in her case, it worked.
Reginald, what about that? Is that the expectation that people will campaign for these things? I think she had a good argument. Number one, she has two little boys and she has two small children and she has a daily show. So I don't know how she would have figured, how she would have managed that. But Reginald, what about that? Was there some sort of negativity around her refusal to campaign?
Well, you know, the thing is whether there was negativity or not. I mean, you know, the fact is, you know, campaigning is dirty business, whether it's politics or even in the entertainment business. So people certainly seized upon that and tried to spin that perception of she's not really grateful because look at what she's not doing. So there was certainly an attempt, whether it was it certainly didn't seem to be an actual perception because she won pretty much everything that she was nominated for. But there was certainly an attempt to spin it as if there was grumbling, there was negativity. And she just kept on winning.
And Reginald, can I ask you about one other thing, speaking of sort of the politics of the award? She became the fifth African-American to win an Oscar, mm-hmm. Joining, of course, Hattie McDaniel, to whom she gave homage, and Whoopi Goldberg, Halle Berry, Jennifer Hudson. There is some feeling, and I know it's being sort of talked about, particularly on black radio this morning, is, okay, she wins for playing an abusive mother. Hattie McDaniel plays for being a maid. Halle Berry plays a woman who's having sex with a man who's abused and killed her husband. What's up with all of that? Do you see where I'm setting with it?
Sure.
People say that's great that she won the award. A lot of people really respect and appreciate Monique, but that's what African-American women win for when Sandra Bullock wins for playing an uplifting, positive role.
Well, here's the reality is, women, for instance, there was a run a couple of years ago when women who played prostitutes kept winning Oscars. And this was not necessarily a black thing. This was just women, and the parts they are offered, at least the juicy parts they are offered. It's become a long-running joke that if you want to win an Oscar, you have to play someone who's mentally incapacitated. So these kind of big, showy roles, which often you're playing an anti-hero, you're playing a villain. For example, the best supporting actor plays one of the most evil Nazis ever on screen. So, yes, it's particularly frustrating for the black community because we have such a desire to see the full range of our humanity. But the reality is, race aside, those kind of parts tend to be Oscar bait.
And speaking of Sandra Bullock, I mentioned how she won Best Actress for her role in The Blind Side. Wesley, we talked about this film earlier when you were on the program talking about looking ahead to the Oscars. And yeah. You said there were some feelings about the fact that first of all, the film made a lot of money. A lot of people enjoyed it. But there was a little bit of an ick factor in the sense that here's a woman who plays a role for, she's just like save the black kid. And a lot of people are saying, what's up with that? And now that you've thought about it a little bit more and some time has passed, and she did give, a lovely acceptance speech.
It was a great speech.
Where she gave a shout out to an appreciation for the mothers out there who take care of babies no matter who they are. Does that change your feelings about it at all?
No. No, I mean, you know, the thing about Sandra Bullock's performance in that movie is that it is separate from the movie's actual problem. I mean, yes, she's playing the woman who... the white woman who takes in this black kid. But the problem with the movie is not her character. It's the fact that the screenwriter and director, John Lee Hancock, didn't bother to make Michael Orr more of a character in the film. I mean, it's her movie, not his. But it's his story, not hers. It's a really interesting upending of the ownership of this situation.
So the black person is the object, not the subject. Once again, the done to rather than the doer.
Right. I mean, this is a vehicle for Sandra Bullock, not, it's an ensemble picture. It's a movie about how this woman basically molds this kid into a good football player and gives him a chance he wouldn't have had were it not for her.
Reggie, what do you feel about that? Did the film similarly push your buttons?
Well, you know, I think these things are really complicated. When I look at that movie, I go, I don't know. Is there a lot of difference between Precious and The Blind Side? There certainly are a lot of similarities. And, you know, there are people who object to both films. But The Blind Side has a black producer, a black filmmaker made Precious. And at the end of the day, I think there's something great about this woman helping this young black man. I think there's nothing wrong with celebrating it. Is there any, you know, is it comparable to Schindler's List, where you have a German who saves a bunch of Jews? I don't know.
Also based on historical reality.
Exactly. I mean, I don't, at the end of the day, this woman did a great thing, and at a certain point, you don't want to be a jerk and say, well, why couldn't it be a black person? Well, sometimes black people save people, sometimes white people save people. I hear your point about wanting to see more of Michael Orr and fleshing him out, and I agree. I would have liked to know more about that character.
I think Wesley's point was that the sort of white folks being either redeemed by black people or saving black people is almost a trope.
It absolutely is.
And so
there's no doubt about it. There's a long tradition of, I mean, I remember being a kid and seeing Conrad and getting all choked up.
Conrad.
Okay.
So, I mean, yes, that tradition of, people being transformed, in both directions. And of course, every once in a while we get the reverse. We get to serve with love and so on. So
That's true. Are the lilies of the field. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking Oscars with film critic Wesley Morris and producer Reginald Hudlin. And historic night, I think everybody can agree with that. Speaking of history, Barbara Streisand talked about how Lee Daniels was only the second African-American nominated for Best Director, Catherine Bigelow, the first woman, and she won. She's the first woman to take home the statue for Best Director for The Hurt Locker. Of course, I'll just play a short clip of her talking about her win. Here it is.
This really is, there's no other way to describe it. It's the moment of a lifetime. First of all, this is so extraordinary to be in the company of such my fellow nominees, such powerful filmmakers who have inspired me and I have admired, for some of whom for decades. And thank you to every member of the Academy. This is, again, the moment of a lifetime.
You know, Reginald, what's interesting, she didn't really make any explicit reference to her gender or this being history making in the way that, for example, Halle Berry did when she won, or in the way that Monique did when she won. Do you feel that her gender played a role in her victory? I mean, I think the critics raved about The Hurt Locker. It didn't make a lot of money, but I think most people who've seen it just thought it was an amazing film. But do you think that her gender played a role? And will her win play a role in opening up opportunities for other women in Hollywood?
Yes, I think her gender played a role, but that's okay. I mean, the fact is she made an amazing movie. It was interesting when, just being on a set and you talk to some of the below-the-line folks, the DPs and the grips and stuff like that. You know, there was a lot of love for The Hurt Locker because people looked at that film as a film with a lot of integrity. So I wasn't surprised to see the wins for her and the wins for the film. And also, I think the fact that she's a woman who has made a quote-unquote man's movie. I think the fact that she broke through doing what is not perceived as the kind of movies that women direct, I think gave her an extra boost. So does that make it easier or tougher on the next woman? I don't think it necessarily makes a difference. I think Hollywood, it's tough to make changes. I mean, black folks have been making quote-unquote breakthroughs for a long time, but at the end of the day, change is glacial.
And to that end, what about Gabourey Sidibe, the star of Precious, nominated for Best Actress? And, of course, she has an amazing story, too. Here's a girl who was a college student, tried out on a whim, got the part, and then is then, you know, sitting in the front row seat at the Oscars, and as I think has gotten a lot of attention, both for the strength of her performance and because she's an unusual leading lady in Hollywood, being of large size as well as dark skin, we might as well just say it. Does this open up other opportunities for women like her, do you think, Reggie? Based on your pressure, yeah. Based on what you just said, no.
The fact is, I don't think that she is unusual, but she isn't. I mean, you know, the fact is, not to diminish her extraordinary achievement. I think Oprah put it very well last night. Like, here you are, you are a college student, and now you're in the same category as Meryl Streep. That's an amazing, amazing story. But, you know, the fact is, whether you're talking Hattie McDaniel or Gabourey or Monique, I think, you know, a heavyset black woman actually has a better shot in Hollywood than a more conventional leading lady.
And finally, can I ask each of you what you thought about the program itself, the production itself, the Oscars as a show? Wesley, what do you think?
I thought it was long. It was 3 hours and 32 minutes. It felt like 6 hours and 64 minutes. I mean, that's actually 7 hours and 4 minutes. It's long. I don't really complain about the length of the show, but I think this year they really made a mistake. And I think that the mistake basically was to prepackage most of the show with these clip montages, which don't really work with a live program in the way that some of the other innovations they came up with last year, like having the nominees serenade each other, like having old winners serenade the current nominees, which they did in the latter half of the show, which actually picked up. It became a lot more of a live production as opposed to relying on these sort of pandering clip packages to horror movies, which made no sense since, you know, we don't expect that from
made
the Academy
to the
Awards.
To the film students out there who've studied the rest of us are like, what? What is that?
Yeah, the John Hughes tribute, which was a relatively good idea, but, I mean, he was never nominated for an Academy Award, and it was not like there was a lot of sort of trying to figure out who was going to watch the show once they got all these people in front of their TV sets. Who was actually
welcome to
there?
Programming, my dear. Welcome to programming.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, Reggie, sorry, quick. We only have 10 seconds. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the production? Did you like it? Didn't like it?
I thought it was I think they did very well considering, you know, the ugly truth is unless they eliminate some of the categories that audiences don't care so much about, the show's always going to feel really long.
Oh, okay. Long. It's long enough for me to get a sandwich. I was happy about that. All right. Here we go. Reginald Hudlin is a Hollywood producer, writer, and director. He's a voting member of the Academy. We're not going to ask him how he voted. He joined us from NPR West. Wesley Morris is a film critic for the Boston Globe, and he joined us from Boston. Gentlemen, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.